sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand. And we thank you for joining us today. As we get into the Word today, I want to turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. We want to read verses 1 and 2. Again, that's Acts chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The title of today's message is An Offensive Name. And you know, I find in the world today there are a lot of people find things offensive that just doesn't even make sense as to why they find it offensive. There's some of the least little things that people will take offense at anymore. All of this stuff about, well, I have to have my safe space because somebody might offend me. I just don't understand all of that. But I do know that some things are offensive, and they're offensive to different people for different reasons. So let's go down to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And it says, As they spake unto the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, they taught the people that through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, in the King James Version that I have on my computer, word search program, has a header at the beginning of the chapter that says, The rulers of the Jews offended by Peter's sermon. The rulers were offended by Peter's sermon. And various other translations translate that word grieved. In the Holloman Christian Standard Bible, it says because they were provoked. And the Complete Jewish Bible says they were very annoyed. And the New King James Version says that they were greatly disturbed. Well, let's look back just a moment as to what's happening here and what's going on. Back in chapter 3 for a minute. You know, in chapter 2, we had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the things that happened on the day of Pentecost, the great message that Peter preached, and 3,000 people were saved at the conclusion of his message. And then we go into Acts chapter 3, and we find that Peter and John were on the way to the temple, and here they meet a man who was begging alms at the temple gate. This is a man who'd probably been there for many years because later on we find in one of the other chapters that he was about 40 years of age at the time these events took place. So here they are. Here's the man. He's asking for alms. Peter looks upon him and he says, You know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And it says the man leaped to his feet and began walking and running about and all these things that a normal person would do. And he'd been lame for probably at least 40 years. Think about that. And I can imagine the excitement that probably took place here as this event has transpired. But now we're finding in chapter 4 as we move on there that it says in verses 1 and 2, And they spake unto the priests, And the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. These people were upset with what had happened. Can you imagine that? We've had a man who has been lame from birth. He's just been healed. And he's able to walk. He's able to be a normal part of society. And they're upset. Well, why were they upset? Well, partially because they were preaching Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. And they didn't want this to take place. I mean, they wanted nothing to do with this Jesus that had just been crucified a few days hence. And they want nothing to do with him. They'd like to forget who he was. They'd like to wipe him out of their memory because they wanted nothing to do about it. Well, it goes on in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, and it says, And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. You know, I find it interesting because back in those days they didn't necessarily count women and children. So the number of men was about 5,000. So I want you to think about it. It's just been a few days since the day of Pentecost and the great sermon that Peter preached. 3,000 were added to the church that day. And here it says that their number of men was about 5,000. So think about it. In just a few days, over 8,000, possibly many more than that, came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, looking back at it as a Christian, this is a fantastic thing that's happened. Roughly 10,000 people, or more than that maybe, have been saved within just a few days. And they've given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And they've asked Him into their heart. But the rulers, they're offended. Well, why? Why were they offended? I want you to think about it. I've mentioned in some previous sermons that the leadership in the temple was not necessarily the most respectful in the sense that they were doing what God wanted done. They were fulfilling a job. They were in charge. They had some authority. They had some power. Of course, they had influence among the people. People respected them and looked up to them. But yet, there was a lot of corruption. And one of the things they were greatly afraid of was losing their influence with the people. They were scared that they were going to lose their influence. So the name Jesus, or as it was in Hebrew, Yeshua, had become an offensive name to them. They did not want to hear about this Jesus or Yeshua. We don't want to hear about this guy. Don't you talk about him. It goes on to tell us in Acts chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, but that it spread no further among the people, and this is the rulers speaking here, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You can go out there and teach. You can go out there and do whatever you want to do. We don't care. But don't you dare use that name, Jesus. Don't do it. It's offensive to us. We don't want to hear it. It goes on in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, they're brought back, and it says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, now they were threatened here in chapter 4, then they were beaten here in chapter 5, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, the reason they didn't do anything else to him at that time is they were afraid of the people because they had seen what an influence these men and women had as they spoke this name of Jesus. And as I said, they were scared to death that they were going to lose their influence, that they were going to lose their power, that people were going to no longer heed what they had to say, and would fall away from their teachings and fall away from being under the authority that they had them under. Well, whether you use the Hebrew name Yeshua, the Greek name Jesus, or the English name Jesus, there are people today who still find that name offensive. Think about it. 2,000 years later, and there are still people who find the name of Jesus offensive. In fact, the world attitude today has become one that if it has to do with Christianity or with Jesus, unless it's something that's mocking it or making fun of it, something that would essentially be offensive to Christians, then the name Jesus or Christianity itself is offensive. And we're seeing that take place as it has over the last few years. And so many people are finding the name of Jesus to be an offensive name. They don't want anything to do with that name. Here in America, many years ago now, prayer was taken out of schools, primarily because of the actions of one person. Sometimes you might think one person can't make a difference. I want you just to look back in history. No matter where you're listening to me at today, one person has made a difference. Somehow, in the country, in the nation, in the area where you live. One person. So one person can make a difference. And here this one person made a difference by essentially getting prayer taken out of the public schools here in the United States of America. But what I find interesting here, 40, 50 years after this has happened, that the American schools are trying to indoctrinate our children by having them recite Muslim prayers. It happened here in the school district where I live. It's happening in school districts around America where in the name that they are teaching about Islam, that they are having the kids recite Muslim prayers that are essentially a prayer that makes them a convert to Islam. I said many years ago that had it come to the point I was no longer for putting prayer back in public schools. And we're beginning to see the reason why now that I took that stand is because the prayer that would go back into schools today would not be the prayers that we as Christians would want to hear. Our children would be hearing prayers from Wicca, from Islam, from Buddhism, from every religion of the world, because we'd have to open it up to everyone. So yes, I'm against putting prayer back in public school because of that reason. People are offended today because of our basic way of life. And I'm not talking about necessarily people that have come here from another country that are living in another country. I'm talking about people that were born and raised right here in America. They're offended if we take pride in our country. They're offended if we fly our flag. Some areas, people have wanted various government agencies to take the American flag off of their vehicles and from displaying it in certain areas. Certain schools even have been reported to want the American flag taken down and no longer be flown because it might offend someone who is here from another country. Well, I'm here to tell you my belief is if you come here from another country, you came here because you were expecting a better life, and you should be thankful for the blessings that you've received here and respect what we have to offer. They're offended if a football player, one by the name of Tim Tebow, bows a knee to give thanks to God for helping him play that game of football. But yet just recently other players in the same sport have also taken a knee, but not to give thanks to God, but to show disrespect for our country and its national anthem. I think that is extremely offensive to me. When people cannot stand up and be thankful for a country that God has blessed as much as He has blessed America, probably the most blessed country on the face of the planet, and there are those who find offense because things are not going just exactly the way that they want them to go. One prominent person recently stated that basically, and I don't remember the exact quote, but basically stated that Christians are just going to have to get over some of their beliefs. We're going to have to change as Christians what we believe in, some of the things that we believe in that the Word of God says. Well, I'm here to tell you today, if the Bible says something is a sin, then I believe it's a sin. And if you don't think it's a sin, then you can take it up with God, but I'm still going to call it a sin because the Bible says it's a sin. So you find that offensive because we call sin, sin. You don't want to hear what the Word of God has to say, but you'll listen to what any quack off the street corner has to say that is teaching something that tickles your ears. Sin is sin. But you don't want to recognize that. Our world today is at war. And I think everyone that's listening to me, no matter where you're at, will agree. We're in some form of warfare wherever you're at on the face of the planet. Some of you that may be listening today, your country may be in a war where you're actually seeing boots on the ground and troops on the street and aircraft in the air and missiles flying overhead, tanks, any of these weapons of war, bombs going off. You may be seeing that. Here in America, we are looking at a different type of war in the sense that it is a war unlike we've ever fought before because we don't necessarily know who the enemy is. We could be standing next to him on the street corner and not know that he's the enemy. So we're not fighting a typical kind of war today. Yes, some parts of the world are, but the world as a whole is also fighting a spiritual war. It is fighting a battle unlike any battle it has ever fought before. And guess what? Our enemy, Satan, the great deceiver, the devil, Lucifer, Slewfoot, many of the names that he's called in the Bible, he's offended by the name of Jesus. He's not only offended by the name of Jesus, he hates the name of Jesus, and he would do anything he could to wipe out the name of Jesus. Recently, and I'm talking about over the last few years, we have seen things take place within our culture where we're trying to bring in and make it something like it's normal. Many things that some folks call the paranormal. They're talking about things that take place in the spiritual realm. And they're trying to bring in things of witchcraft, things that are satanic, and things that the Bible actually speaks against that we're not to take part in. And there's a show that's now on television. I've never watched it. I, quite frankly, was offended by the title of it. Quite frankly, I was offended that any network would put that program on the air. It's a show by the name of Lucifer. Well, I heard someone else talking about it, so I have to go by what they said. But basically, Lucifer is now being portrayed as just a misunderstood individual, a good guy. He's just been misunderstood. Well, you know what? That's what he wants you to believe. That's what he wants you to think. He wants you to believe that he's just misunderstood, that God's given him a bad rap. You know, I'm not this bad guy that God's been portraying me. I'm just misunderstood. And the next thing you know, we find as this begins to creep further and further into our lives, more and more people begin to be desensitized to it and say, oh, he's not a bad guy. The devil's not a bad guy. In fact, there are people out there today that tell you they don't even believe that there's a devil out there. They don't even believe in Satan. They don't even believe in evil spirits. They don't believe in any of these things. Nah, that's just a bunch of fairy tales. Well, my friend, the Word of God, the holiest book on the face of the planet, tells us there is a devil. It tells us there is a Satan. It tells us that there are demons. It tells us that there is a hell. Tells us all of these things. But people are offended if we try to warn them that this could be their destiny if they don't turn their life around. If they don't make a change in their life, they could end up there. And they become offended if you try to reach them. As I mentioned, Satan, Lucifer, any of the names that you want to call him, he's offended by the name of Jesus. He's done his best to destroy him. If you go back and you read the scriptures, you find that Jesus was preparing to go into his public ministry. He went out into the desert for a period of time, for fasting, 40 days. And then it says the enemy took him and put him on a high mountain, and he put him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Look, all of these things could be yours if you'll just bow down and worship me." Well, that was a feeble attempt on the part of the enemy to get Jesus to turn his back and fall away from the mission that God had set him to carry out, and that was the salvation of mankind. You know what? He wasn't offering Jesus anything that Jesus didn't already have. All of these things already belong to him. He was just telling him, "Look, I can give you what you've already got." Well, the enemy is trying to give us things that he doesn't have the power and the authority to give us today. Why does he hate the name of Jesus so much? Well, the Bible very quickly tells us why he hates him. Number one, he got kicked out of heaven because he tried to overtake and usurp the power of God. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You can only be saved if you call upon the name of Jesus. Now, I know somebody might get real sticky here with me, because that's the English word. And as I said, it doesn't matter what it translates to in your language, we must call upon that name. But it still goes back to the English Jesus, the Hebrew Yeshua, the Greek Iesus. You've got to call upon that name. That's the only way you're going to have salvation, is to invite Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into your heart and accept what he did for you on the cross of Calvary. Otherwise, you are lost. And if you become offended by me telling you that if you are living in sin, you're going to be lost, I'm sorry about that, but that's what the Word of God has to say, and I'm trying to help you save your life. So there is salvation and none other. You can't call upon Buddha and be saved. You can't call upon Allah and be saved. You can't call upon Muhammad and be saved. Only if you call upon the name of Jesus can you be saved. And Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever, that means you, that means me. It means little Jimmy Jones down the street, or Mary, whatever her name is, that lives the other end of the block. It doesn't matter who you are. If you call upon the name of Jesus and you repent of your sins and you accept what he did upon the cross of Calvary, you will be saved. Whosoever, you, me, your neighbor, even that person you don't like, if they call upon the name of Jesus, they can be saved. And I know some folks may be surprised when they get to heaven and they find that person they really didn't like is there. And the reason they're there is because they called upon the name of Jesus. So why does the devil hate that name? Because he's losing. And he hates the name of Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. Oh, I know that there are people out there that are telling you that there are many paths to heaven. There are many roads. There are many ways. But that's not what God's Word tells us. It tells us there's only one way, and it tells us that one way is only through the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the only way. Yes, His name is offensive to many people today. And His name is definitely offensive to all the demons in hell. His name is offensive to Satan himself. But I have another thought for you. I believe that there are probably going to be many people who are in hell, maybe found His name offensive, that are going to wish that they had not been offended and that they had called upon the name of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the only pathway to salvation, the only way you're going to be saved, is if you call upon that name, that wonderful name of Jesus. And if you're listening to me today, doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter what part of the world you're residing in, if you've never called upon the name of Jesus, and this message has touched your heart, why don't you call upon that name right now? Why don't you say, Jesus, O Son of God, come into my heart right now. Come into my life. Wash away my sins with the blood that was shed for my salvation on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, you paid that price. You made that sacrifice. I bless your name today. I accept your name. I accept you into my life. And I repent. I turn away from my sins. And I only want to follow you. I thank you, Jesus, for giving your life on the cross of Calvary for me. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And if you prayed that prayer today, asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you want to know some more about salvation, if you go to our website, there's a page called Salvation. And it answers the question, what must I do to be saved? And it gives you many scriptures there that we don't have time to give you on the broadcast today. But there are those scriptures that are there. You can print it out. Can take it home with you. You can look at it any time you want to. Jesus, not an offensive name, the most treasured name in this world today is the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you today for your blessings. And I pray now, Father, that you would touch hearts and lives wherever they may be that have listened to this message today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.